Chapter 12, Smokescreen. By the time I reach my cabin, I'm out of breath. My entire bunk is standing on the porch with Deb. No, not my entire bunk. Morgan, Carly, and... Poodles? It's Poodles! Wait a second. Where's Allison? Guys, what's going on? Poodles runs down the steps and throws her arms around me. Ow, ow, ow! I'm in no shape to be hugged. I don't understand, I say. Allison got kicked out of camp, she wails. I don't understand, I repeat. She's with Janice in the office right now. Her parents are coming to get her tonight. But why? What could Allison have done to merit getting kicked out of camp?
She got caught smoking in the bathroom, Morgan says.
What?
Impossible.
That doesn't make any sense, I say. She doesn't smoke.
Apparently she does,
Morgan says. No, she doesn't, I say adamantly. She thinks smoking is disgusting. Where would she get cigarettes? It makes no sense. We have to do something, Poodle says. Let's protest.
Deb shakes her head. There's nothing you can do. It's too late.
Rose caught her red-handed during free play. How? I ask. What reason could the head of Waterfront have to be in our bunk?
She was outside the cabin and smelled smoke, Morgan recounts, as though watching the scene on a screen inside her head. She stormed into our bunk and ordered Allison to open the door. When she did, the stall reeked of smoke and Allison had a pack of cigarettes with her. I heard the whole thing. I smelled the smoke, too.
If you smelled smoke, why didn't you make her stop? I shriek.
Morgan shrugs. Hey, don't yell at me. I wasn't the one smoking.
So, she was smoking in the bunk, Poodle says, her voice catching. Big deal.
Deb puts her hand on my shoulder.
You know what Anthony said. Any camper caught with cigarettes will be sent home immediately. No exceptions. It's dangerous. Bunks are flammable.
What about flat irons and kettles? People use those in the bunk and don't get booted out of camp,
Poodles argues.
You shouldn't, Deb says. You're not supposed to.
Someone has a flat iron here?
Girls, you know it's not up to me, Deb continues. I'm just as devastated about this as you are. But rules are rules. There's nothing I can do.
Talk to Anthony, I say, choking up. He's your boyfriend, isn't he?
Deb turns bright pink.
What gave you that idea?
I saw you making out in the CL. I know that a counselor dating the head counselor is probably not allowed, but there's no time for lying.
This is crazy, I say instead. Can't she get a warning? I'm sorry, Deb says, tears welling in her eyes. I can't stop my tears from rolling down my bee-stung cheeks.
Don't we even get a chance to say goodbye?
Everyone said goodbye, Carly says. We helped her pack. Where were you?
In the infirmary.
Are you sick? Morgan asks. You look like you have measles.
Poodles pats my shoulder. Does it hurt?
I'm not sick. I'm stung.
At the moment, I'm too upset to feel the pain.
Can't I go say goodbye?
I'm sorry, Deb says. They told me to keep you all here. I don't know what else to say. I don't know what to do. I want to scream and yell. I just don't believe it.
I know, Allison. At least, I think I know Allison. And the Allison I know wouldn't smoke in the bathroom. She just wouldn't.
This is so depressing.
Poodles is writing our names on the wall in permanent marker.
She said she wants to make sure that Allison remains a part of the bunk forever, or at least until they repaint. The rest of us are in bed, quiet. The girls of 15 are laughing and talking, not even caring that their old friend was sent home. But we're too miserable to speak.
I wish they'd shut up!
Carly squeaks in her high-pitched teddy bear voice. My bunk bed feels lonely with only me in it. Allison's bed has been stripped bare. Her cubby, too. If only I hadn't gone hiking with Raph. I could have made Allison put out her cigarette as soon as I smelled the smoke. I would have made it rain on her if she didn't open the bathroom door. Hell, I made it rain once before. I can do it again. At least I could have warned her that Rose was coming, or wished Rose out of the bunk. If only I was a powerful enough witch to turn back time.
Hey, why don't you take the lower bunk? Morgan suggests.
How can you even suggest that? I snap. That would be sacrilegious. I flip over, trying to get comfortable. What was Rose doing near our bunk anyway? She never comes around here. Poodles drops her marker and it clangs on the floor.
Do you think someone told on her?
I tried to remember if any of them were in the cabin when I left with Raph. I might have seen Cece, but she wouldn't have done it. Shaving cream is one thing, but getting an old friend kicked out of camp? I know Morgan was here, but she wouldn't have ratted Allison out. Just my luck that I find a camp BFF and she gets kicked out. I'm the one who feels kicked. Kicked in the butt. We sulk through flagpole. We sulk through breakfast. We sulk through cleanup. Today I have sweep as well as Allison's dustpan, since Morgan, who's chore-free, claims she's too depressed to help. Sheesh. It's not easy doing both jobs. It's like playing softball and being expected to pitch and catch simultaneously. Speaking of softball, we are scheduled for a game against Bunk 15. Since it's the four of us against the six of them, it's not much of a game. One of your girls should play for our team, Deb tells Penelope.
Any of you willing to switch over?
Penelope asks her bunk.
We don't need any help, says Poodles. We're fine on our own, says Carly.
Exactly. We can do it. I can do it. With a little help from my magic. The bases are loaded. Liana's playing first base, Cece's on second, Natalie's on third, Kristen's catcher, and Molly's in the field. Trishel, the pitcher, narrows her heavily lined eyes, purses her lips, and rolls her arm back and tosses the softball at me. Now, the thing is, I am not a good hitter, and my 7,000 bee stings aren't going to help, but I don't care. I'm getting a home run. Now. I focus all my raw will and kabam! The ball soars over all their heads, way over the roof of bunk 3. The girls of both 14 and 15 gasp. Deb whistles. Morgan, Carly, and Poodles run home while Deb hollers her heart out. I slide into home, accidentally knocking over Kristen.
My earring! She screams. I lost one of my earrings!
I'm too excited to care.
Go, Team Glinda!
We're going to win in honor of Allison. My home run euphoria is short-lived. First, we have to spend 20 minutes sifting through the dugout for Kristen's precious pearl. And then Liana and Trishel switch positions, and Liana strikes us all out. Meanness must be stronger than magic. That's the only explanation I can think of. Either that or my magling just hasn't been working. In the next inning, all of 15's balls fly directly into wide open spaces. Deb insists that both she and Penelope jump into the game to even it out, but it doesn't help. The balls start coming directly at me, and I keep dropping them. I try to use my magic to help me catch them, but nothing works.
They win 19-4. We are silent during lunch. When Deb calls freeze, we ignore her, and each of us cleans up after herself. Carly hangs her head.
I can't believe Allison is really gone. This is the worst summer ever.
I'm starting to agree. I can't believe it. This was supposed to be the best summer of my life. It started out as the best summer of my life, so what happened? The lunch meatloaf is burnt and tasteless, reflecting our mood.
Cheer up, girls, Deb tells us. Tomorrow will be a better day.
It can't get worse, can it?
Unfortunately, it can, and does. After lunch, it gets much, much worse.
It's rest hour, and Deb is handing out the mail.
Morgan?
She tosses a beige envelope to Morgan.
Poodles and Rachel, you both got packages.
Poodles gets her copies of Entertainment Weekly and People. I get a box of something called Summer Rain from Jennifer.
Huh?
Is it possible that this time Jennifer got me something normal, like perfume? I read the label. For feminine cleansing. A douche.
Ew, ew, ew! What is wrong with her?
She obviously doesn't want us to be friends if she's trying to humiliate me in front of my bunkmates. Directly into the garbage it goes. After Deb is done distributing, she announces,
Bunk meeting!
I'm lying on my stomach writing Allison a letter, or trying to. I don't know exactly how to start or what to say.
Dear Allison, what were you thinking? Why didn't you tell me you smoked?
Are you an idiot? You ruined my summer. I sigh, put down my pen, and roll onto my side to face Deb. Carly takes a break from her sit-ups, and Morgan stops tweezing her eyebrows. Poodles continues flipping through her magazine and asks,
What now? Gonna send another one of us home?
Come on, girls, Deb says.
Cheer up!
Whatever,
Carly says. Liana is silently standing by the door, her arms folded across her chest. What is she doing here? Eavesdropping again?
I have some news that I think you're all going to be excited about, Deb says.
You're bringing Allison back? I ask, my eyes lingering on Liana. Deb shakes her head.
No, we can't do that. By now she's...
Probably grounded for life, Morgan mutters.
Poor Allison.
Back home, says Deb.
Anyway, Janice was concerned about the small number of girls in this bunk, so she asked if anyone in 15 would consider moving over to this side. And Liana volunteered, Deb finishes.
You've got to be kidding. We are all silent. Liana flips her hair.
Unfriggin' believable. Why does she want to be on this side anyway? We're practically at war with her and her friends.
Deb waves the intruder over.
Liana, welcome to your new home. You're going to love it on this side of the world. Why don't you bring your blankets over and make your new bed?
She suggests, and then points to...
No, don't do it. The bottom of my bunk. No! Why didn't I take it when I had the chance?
Though, honestly, I think it would be worse to have Liana on top, always climbing over me whenever she wants to get up to her bed. Knowing her, I think she'd purposely step on my face.
I'll show her. I'll toss and turn and turn and toss so that she never gets a good night's sleep.
Liana moves right in. By the end of rest hour, she's made her satin purple bed and set up her section of the shelf. She has more makeup than the pharmacy in there. as well as a heavy-looking antique jewelry box. What kind of person brings something so fancy to camp? What if it gets broken? And what kind of jewelry does she have inside anyway? I never see her wearing any of it. The rest of the girls are watching her with curiosity. I'm watching her with a whole lot of suspicion. I pull Poodles over during basketball drills on lower field to share my thoughts. Something is up with Liana. Poodle's blue eyes widen.
What do you mean?
I bounce my ball to her. I don't know, but why would she ask to be switched when she's BFF with her whole bunk? It's not like she's friends with any of us. She bounces the ball back to me.
That is a good point.
She could be up to something. We'll keep an eye on her. I'll tell the others. The next day, all four of us watch and treat her suspiciously. We are a unit, and Liana is the outsider, and we display this during second period at soccer. Liana is now on our team. Not that you could tell. None of us passes her the ball. There's no way I'm going to believe she'd actually play against her buddies from 15. After 10 minutes of running around, Morgan is gasping.
Does anyone have water? I could have sworn I brought mine, but I don't know where it went.
Liana appears next to her with a full bottle.
You can have some of mine, she says sweetly.
Morgan steps back in surprise. After a moment's hesitation, she takes a long sip from Liana's bottle.
Thanks, she says, smacking her lips.
Liana smiles.
Happy to help.
After that, Morgan passes Liana the ball, and Liana doesn't waste it. She kicks it directly into 15's net.
Go, Liana!
Morgan cheers. Go away, maybe. So she scored a point for our team. So what? She's obviously up to something. But what? After soccer, Morgan seems to have either forgotten or dismissed our proceed with caution plan. Suddenly, Morgan and Liana are BFFs. They sit together at lunch. They pick each other as partners for tennis. Part of me is not entirely surprised. I like Morgan, but sometimes she's a little obnoxious, not to mention crude.
There's something off about her,
Poodle says after tennis, as we pick up our stray balls. But I can't put my finger on it. I never did trust Morgan 100%, I say. Poodles looks at me funny.
Why are you backstabbing Morgan? I'm talking about Liana. I don't trust her at all.
My face burns. I feel chastised and even angrier at Liana. Look what she's turning me into. A backstabbing bunkmate. I don't trust Liana either, I say. Or like her. We look up and catch Liana glaring at me. Then she whispers something to Morgan, and the two of them crack up. Poodles tosses her ball into the air and then catches it.
The feeling is obviously mutual. She doesn't seem to like you either.
Raph and I are in the playground swinging side by side, enjoying our afternoon snack. Everything about this moment is yummy to the power of three. One, instead of plain milk, there's surprise chocolate milk. Two, I'm on a swing. And three, well, Raph.
How do you like your new bunkmate?
He asks. I kick my legs up to gain momentum. There's something weird about her.
What do you mean?
Just something, I say noncommittally. Recalling what Poodle said about backstabbing, I don't tell Raph all about why I don't like her. I don't want him to think I'm mean or paranoid.
Hi, guys,
I hear. Speak of the devil. Liana is standing in front of us with Morgan. Morgan is wearing her typical itsy-bitsy bikini top and short swim shorts. Liana, on the other hand, is looking glamorous as usual, in a tight white halter top and a long navy blue wrap skirt. She really does have the best clothes, and a lot of them. Now that I think about it, I realize I've never seen her wear the same outfit twice. How is that possible? Her cubby is too neat to hold so many clothes. But I guess she has to keep it that way to keep track of them all. I'd be happier right now if I weren't wearing a particularly grubby black t-shirt and gray shorts that I love to wear, but keep forgetting to toss into my laundry bag. Liana's eyes are on me.
Need a push?
No, thanks. Unless it involves pushing you out of the way. She turns to my quasi-boyfriend and smiles.
Raph, I'd love to give you a push.
The chocolate milk in my stomach curdles. I can't believe she said that. Who introduced them anyway? She smiles at him sweetly. Why is she flirting with him?
Hands off,
I want to yell. Step away from the swing.
I'm all right,
he says.
You know, Raph, she says, you look so much like Will. Don't you think so, Rachel?
Just where is she going with this? She doesn't know about us, does she? She can't know. Unless Morgan told her. I think he looks like himself, I answer, and glare at the two girls.
Really?
Liana purrs.
I think he looks just like Will, but better looking.
If she doesn't stop hitting on my Raph, I'm going to... Before I can control myself, her chocolate milk leaps out of her glass and lands in a blob on her previously clean white halter. She looks at her shirt in shocked silence. Then she looks up at me and scowls. As if it's my fault. Okay, it is my fault, but she has no way of knowing that. I feel guilty for a half second before Raph jumps off his swing and offers to get napkins from the kitchen. Liana follows him, giving me a nasty smile. Morgan spots Will and runs off to shake her boobs. Thanks, Liana, for killing my romantic moment by the swings. Yeah, I know it's my fault for letting my magic get the best of me, but it wouldn't have happened if she hadn't flirted with my guy. As I sit on the swing by myself, I decide that I might need to make another visit to Miri tonight. It's becoming apparent that I need something stronger than Magles. Deb, Poodles, Carly, and I decide to work on our tans during GS, while Liana and Morgan and all of Bunk 15 splash around and wail.
I can't believe they're BFFs all of a sudden,
Carly says while reapplying suntan lotion to her legs. Girls, be nice, Deb says. She's not that bad. Sure, she's a little high-strung, but...
You have to be nice, Poodle snorts.
I spot Miri alone in her bunk line. The rest of her bunk is in the water. I wave her over. What were you doing? She spreads out her towel next to mine.
Thinking.
Why aren't you swimming? She shrugs. Want me to go swimming with you?
No, thanks.
Why not?
I'm not wearing a bathing suit.
Miri, you have to wear a bathing suit on the beach.
I didn't think I'd have anyone to go swimming with.
I'll swim with you.
I don't have my suit on, remember?
I sigh. You should be socializing during GS, not just thinking.
Raph isn't socializing.
I look at where she's pointing and spot Raph lying on his back, engrossed in a book. He's so cute when he's studious. That's different. He's not socializing because he wants to read, not because he doesn't have any friends. I swear, I didn't mean for that to come out as awful as it sounded.
Why are you so mean to me?
Miri snaps, turning bright red. She pushes herself off the sand, grabs her towel, and starts walking away.
I've made friends, by the way. Not that you would notice.
Mir, stay. I'm sorry. Hang out with me. For a second, I think she's going to keep walking, but then she sits back down. Can we do some Glinda-ing tonight? I ask, my code word for training. She hesitates.
I can't.
Why not? She plays with the lanyard bracelet on her wrist.
Because I'm exhausted. I didn't sleep well last night, and I need to get some rest.
Oh, well, fine. Tomorrow night?
Maybe.
Good. And I like your bracelet. Great stitching. Very impressed that you learned square. A long shadow cuts across my upper torso. Liana is blocking my sun.
Hi, Rachel.
She gives Miri a big smile.
Hi, Miri.
Excuse me? First Raph and now Miri? How do you know my sister? Liana kneels down on my sister's towel, and Morgan sits beside her.
Mir and I are old friends.
Oh, really? Mir? Is she kidding me?
We're taking tennis together, Miri explains hurriedly, as an elective.
Liana takes a big drink of her water.
Deb, you look kind of dehydrated. You'd better drink some water.
What? Oh, thanks. Deb takes a gulp, then hands the bottle back.
Boodles, do you want any? You're also looking kind of red.
No, thanks. Liana shrugs.
Carly?
Carly shakes her head. Gee, thanks. She offers it to everyone but me and my sister. Not that I want any. We don't need any Liana cooties.
Your sister is fantastic, Rachel, Liana says. Her serve is deadly.
Miri beams.
That means so much coming from you. Did you know that Liana is an internationally ranked player?
Oh, please. She is such a liar. Morgan whistles. Wow. Liana brushes the compliment away with the back of her slender hand.
No big deal.
That will look totally cool on college applications, Morgan says. Deb eyes Liana's muscled legs.
Is that how you stay in such great shape?
1 point, Liana. But the game isn't over yet. The next few days pass by in a blur. Visiting day is on Sunday, so people are preparing for their parents' arrival. I can't believe that summer is half over. I can't believe that summer is half over and Raph and I still haven't kissed. I can't seem to get any time alone with him. Every time it's just the two of us, someone pops up. Raph and I are sitting on the porch at night. Morgan joins us. We're swimming at GS. Trishelle splashes us. We're sitting together at evening activity. Liana sits next to us.
He would totally kiss me if he had the chance, right?
Unless he hasn't kissed me because he doesn't like me. No, that can't be. He likes me. He broke up with Melissa because he likes someone else. But what if it's not me? He tried to kiss me several times to no avail, so it has to be me. What if it was me, but now he's changed his mind? What if he's still weirded out about me and Will? No, he still likes me, or else he would have given up by now. I just need time alone with him. Time alone to cement the deal. To cement our lips. Together. Funny, I can't seem to get any time alone with Miri either. I stop by her bunk at supper wash-up, but she's not there. I can't find her at free play either. I finally corner her the next day at SI. What do you mean you're still tired? I ask her. It's Thursday morning, 3 days before visiting day. We're sitting on the bench at the top of the beach, waiting for the period to start.
I need more sleep.
What about at free play?
We'll use the invisibility umbrella.
I'm busy at free play.
With what?
Stuff.
Miri, come on.
I close my eyes and let the sun warm my cheeks.
No. What about after evening activity? Before curfew?
She suggests. That's not a good time for me, I say.
No. You're too busy with Raph, then.
True. If I'm not with him, then he can't kiss me.
You're choosing Raph over me,
she says. You're choosing sleep over me.
Anyway, you don't need me to practice your magels.
But, Miri, I think I'm ready to...
Have you perfected your magels yet?
No.
Then you don't need me. None of you need me.
My eyes shoot open and I turn to look at her. What are you talking about? Her face is flushed, and it's not from the sun.
Huh?
What do you mean nobody needs you?
How many letters has Mom written you?
I don't know, about 2 per week. I lean over, pick up a few grains of sand, and roll them between my fingers. Miri pales.
Oh.
Oh, what? How many has she written you?
None.
What?
She hasn't written me once.
That's impossible, she shrugs.
It's true.
They probably got lost.
Why would your letters find you but mine get lost?
Good question. Hey, are you getting weirdo packages from Jennifer?
Yes! What is up with that? This week I got a box of tampons. What's wrong with her?
Better than what I got this week. A tube of Preparation H. She snickers.
That is worse.
Mir, you're getting Dad's emails, right?
Yeah. Dad, who only has time to write us joint emails.
Her not getting any mail from Mom still doesn't make sense to me. Hey, Mir, maybe Mom has your bunk number wrong and Steph is sending them to the wrong cabin. Next time you write her, make sure to tell her the right one.
Forget it. I'm not writing her if she can't be bothered to write me.
Miri, I'm sure that's not it.
She's too busy with Lex.
You have Raph and Mom has Lex.
Hey, you don't think he's coming for visiting day, do you?
I don't know. Probably not.
What about Jennifer?
Yeah, she's probably coming. Dad wrote that they're driving up with Prissy and then leaving her here.
I wonder how he's getting away with that since starter camp begins the day after visiting day.
He probably paid them a little extra to take Prissy a day early.
See? He doesn't care about any of us either.
Miri! She scoops up a pile of sand with her hand and lets it sift through her fingers.
It's true. All he cares about is Jennifer and having a new baby with her. That's why we were at camp to begin with.
She's not completely wrong. I mean, that is how going to camp came about. But I don't think that Dad doesn't care about us. He loves us, and so does Mom. They're just busy with their own lives.
Miri,
I say, smacking my bare knee with my hand. I just realized that Mom and Dad are both coming to visiting day. Both of them, in the same place. How uncomfy will that be?
I don't care, she says. It's their mess. Let them worry about it.
Unfortunately, my psyche doesn't work that way. I almost wish they weren't coming. Now I have to spend the next few days worrying about whether my mom and Jennifer will talk to each other, whether seeing my dad will hurt my mom's feelings, and whether they both realize that the other one's going to be here. I can't help getting annoyed at them. The past month has been parental issue free. Rose blows her whistle, interrupting my children of divorce daydream.
There should be a name for bad daydreams, I say to Miri. For nightmares during the day.
Daymares?
Miri suggests, taking off her shorts.
Everyone in the water, Rose orders. Hustle, hustle!
Oh, right.
There's already a name. It's swimming lessons.